Turn with me into the book of John, chapter number 8. The book of John, chapter number 8. Give you what the Lord has laid upon my heart tonight. We'll begin reading in verse number 25. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, God, you've blessed us with. Lord, God, I ask you tonight, God, for your unction, Lord. I ask you, God, for your blessings tonight, God, upon this word you've laid upon my heart, Father. God, whatever God has accomplished, Lord, we'll be careful, God, to bow our heads, God, and give you all glory and all praise. For we love you and we ask you blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm interested tonight in this verse, number 32. He says, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to thank God tonight that I heard the truth one day. Way back yonder when I was a little old boy, I had a mom and daddy that carried me to an old-fashioned Baptist church. I'm glad they didn't carry me somewhere where there's a reading out of Koran or some other kind of funny book, but I'm glad they carried me to a place where there was an old man of God preaching out of an old King James Bible, and the truth of God began to settle in my heart and to do a work in my life, and that same truth that I heard preached as a little boy, one day drew me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad tonight that, hey, there's a lot of sayings, there's a lot of books in the world today, but right here is the truth. Hey, let me tell you something tonight. There's 66 books in here. There's 1,189 chapters in it, some 31,102 verses, friend. Every word of it is truth. If you want to know some answers, friend, right here's where you'll find the answers to the issues of life. I encourage you tonight, friend, to get into this word of truth right here. Amen? Hey, it'll set you free. It'll set you free from the deceit and the deceivers that's in this world today. There's many antichrists in the world today. You need to know the truth, friend. You need to know what God says and what God has given us as true. Hey, John said, these are the true sayings of God, and this is what we ought to be building our lives and hopes around today. Well, listen to me. Beware, friend, of the deceivers. Get free. Get free of that. Hey, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of God. You better know, friend, when a man stands up and tries to teach or preach the word of God, you ought to know where to say amen, or you ought to know where to point him out as in error. Amen? Listen to me tonight now. If you know the truth, it'll set you free. Set you free from deceivers. It'll set you free from the devil and his footholds and strongholds in your life, friend. And let me tell you, it'll set you free from damnation through forgiveness, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, there's a great need for truth in the world today, ain't there? Boy, we're in a political time right now, and everybody's getting up speaking the big lies and telling you what all they going to do. And let me tell you, they can't do nothing without God's help. Unless God wills it, they are totally powerless. Amen? But listen, tonight I want to preach on this thought or teach a little while on this thought, the importance of truth. We need truth in the day that we live. Let me say this right here in John chapter number 18. I'm going to be in several different places in the Bible tonight, and I encourage you to turn with me if you can. In John 18, in verse number 33, the Bible says, then Pilate, speaking of, entered into judgment, the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? Now, Jesus was before Pilate at this time. They were trying him. They were wanting to crucify him. Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? He was standing face to face with the truth. And he was questioned. He had opportunity to question him. He had opportunity to believe that Jesus was just exactly who he said he was. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault. I find in him no fault at all. What a statement he just made. I find no fault. Two more times he made that same statement, and yet because of political pressure, he turned him over to be crucified. Pilate. He says, what is truth? Boy, the world needs to know what the truth is in the day that we live. We need to know what the truth is. Our children need to know what the truth is in this day that we live. The definition of truth, I looked it up, it says, one definition says an indisputable fact. Indisputable. Hey, this book right here, it's not up for debate. Amen. This book is forever settled in heaven. God's not going to change it one iota. Hey, man can compromise all he wants to. He can write all the Bibles that he wants to, but God is not going to change his mind on the things that he has given us in his word. Hey, he don't care. Hey, listen to me, friend. It's settled. It's an indisputable fact what God has told us in his word. Now, Jesus one day teaching his disciples that he was going away and that he'd come again and receive them unto himself. And that there where he was, they could be there also. And he said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said these profound words right here. He saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's still true today in the day that we live, friend. If a man, woman, boy, or girl is going to make it to heaven, they're going to come by bloody Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice that he made on Calvary's cross. Hey, not every road leads to heaven, friend. Hey, not every religion's going to get you there today, friend. Hey, it's the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the old rugged cross that'll get you to heaven in the day that we live. Oh, it'll never change. It'll never change. Man can compromise. Man can say, well, let's just all get along and your religion's okay and your religion's okay and yours is okay, but that ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Listen to me. I'm talking about the importance of truth. Listen, first of all, I want to say tonight, I want to give you three things. I know the Bible says a whole lot about truth, but I want to just touch on three points that's burning on my heart tonight. First of all, the importance of knowing the truth. Secondly, the importance of growing in truth. And thirdly, the importance of sowing the truth. Now, first of all, the importance of knowing the truth. Now, if somebody went up to somebody that was lost and said, this Bible's the truth. They might accept that as a fact. You could say, this is the Word of God. It's truth. Well, they're still in the dark. They don't know anything other than the truth, and that's the way a lot of Christians are today. You know the truth, and you've believed in God. You're saved, friend, but listen to me, friend. There's a thing of truth, the acquiring of knowledge, the knowledge of the truth. We need to acquire all the knowledge of what God has said to us right here. Listen, if you're saved tonight, if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't you want to know what He says? Don't you want? Hey, one of these days you're going to go out to meet Him. One of these days, friend, this old body's going to lay down, and you're going to go out to meet God. I want to know about what He's got to say to me, don't you? Amen. I want to know what He requires of me. I want to be closer to Him, and one way is through the truth of His Word tonight. Now, this thing of knowledge. Let me say this right here before I get into some points right here. We live in a day, in an age when knowledge has increased. Amen? It's amazing how much knowledge has increased in the last, say, 100 years or so, isn't it? Daniel had some things to say in Daniel chapter 12. Listen to this now. I'm going to read you four verses here. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now look at this. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Isn't it amazing what God has given us in this book right here? Isn't it amazing that in the end times, way back hundreds of years ago, Daniel, God prophesied through Daniel right here that in the end of the age, in the end of times, that knowledge would be increased. Have you ever really just thought, if our great-great-grandfathers could come back and grandmothers could come back and look at this world today, it'd blow their mind. Did you know that I got to think Jamie and him went on a big flight over to Albania. And as I was studying this right here, I got to think about flying. Did you know that in 1903, Orville Wright got in a little old homemade airplane and he had to build his own motor to go in it. And he flew for about 120 feet. And then later on in the day, he flew for about 850 feet. 63 years later, there was a man landed on the moon. We sent a spaceship to the moon. In such a short time, went from lifting off the ground, flying 120 feet, to sending a man to the moon. Knowledge has increased, hadn't it? Amen. Knowledge has increased. It's amazing just to think about all the technology that has come into the world and is available to man in the day that we live. It's amazing how far that knowledge has increased in the last, say, 100 years or so. But not only the carnal knowledge of man, but spiritual knowledge, I think, has increased. I think we live in a day when man has got more light than he's ever had before. I think there's more men that's got enlightenment of the Word of God and through the different things that God has blessed man with. I think we're enlightened more than we've ever been before. God has poured out knowledge upon man in these last days. Not only that, friend, but we as Christians, friend, we've got the Spirit of truth, as John talks about in chapter number 16. The Spirit of truth has come on the day of Pentecost. He's guiding His children in all truth. If you want to know the truth, if you want to know how to be led in life and which way to go in life, friend, you've got the Spirit of truth living within you if you're a born-again child of God. You can know the truth, and you can walk in truth, and you can do the truth if you want to. We're not in darkness. Listen, we're living in a day where knowledge has increased. But also in 2 Timothy
chapter number 3, we'll see also that we live in a day when knowledge or when truth is being rejected. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, in verse number 70, he speaks about the age of apostasy or the time of the last days, the perilous times, the falling away in the last days. And he gives all the characteristics of man. But in verse number 7, he says, man would be ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what? Man's got too smart for this Bible, right? Man thinks he's smarter than God, don't he? Let me tell you what the truth is. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Man can't accept that today. He's looking for some scientific explanation of where man come from in the day that we live in. He'll never outsmart God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God went on and He created everything that you see, and He created you, and He created me. Never. You didn't come from no monkey. Uh-uh. No monkey. Ain't that? Looks like man could come up with something better than that to try to deceive somebody with, don't it? Lord help. Well, listen to me. Spiritual truth is being rejected. And why? Why in the day that we live, when we have such knowledge and such spiritual guidance in the day that we live, why is it being rejected? I'll tell you why. Jesus explains it in John chapter number 3. Because men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it. You know why sinners don't like to come to church? They don't want to hear the truth. They're in love with their sins. I know what I'm talking about now. I used to be one of them. Long time ago, I didn't like to go to church. I didn't like conviction. I was living in darkness and I was liking the dark. I was having a good time. But the truth is, I was on my way to hell. Blessed be the God of heaven that had mercy on me. Lord, I ought to be in hell tonight. I ought to be in hell. The things that I've done in my life, how I just flat shook my fist in the face of God. My, He's been gracious. First of all, let me say this importance of knowing the truth. It reveals man's condition. Man's condition. Lost. A sinner. Separated from God without any hope of heaven. And hell is where he's headed. That's what the truth does. It reveals to a lost person his condition. His lost condition. Friend, let me tell you something. This Bible right here is sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll cut you. It'll try to straighten you out as a saved person, or it'll convict you as a lost person. But God is doing it because of His mercy and because of His grace. And He reveals man's condition through this Word. Not just to lost people, but He convicts me through it. Listen, I need the Word of God in my life, and you need the Word of God in your life. Yeah, we need to see what our condition is every day of our life. How we stand with God. Get in the Bible. Let it speak to you. Let the Holy Ghost minister the Word of God to you and see where you stand with God. Not only it reveals man's condition, but it reveals Christ. The Christ that was prophesied in Genesis 3 and 15, the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of Satan, friend, is prophesied all throughout the Old Testament. Hey, Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." He said, "Hey, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Hey, we see all through the Old Testament, it all pointed to Christ. It all pointed to the cross, friend, and it reveals to us Christ. Paul said in Galatians, I think it's chapter number 3 or 4. He said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. We were all under the condemnation of the law. We were all headed to hell, except God had compassion and sent His Son into this world to pay a sin debt that we owed. I thank God that it reveals Christ to us. Amen? Not only that, it reveals us His cross. The awful ugliness of our sins. Christ died on Calvary's cross to pay a debt for us. Blood had to be shed to pay that sin debt. It reveals a cross. It also reveals a call. I'm glad that we live in the age of the gospel and grace. Amen? The dispensation of God's grace. Listen to me, friend. I'm glad today that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a Savior. What a Savior that would have grace and compassion on the likes of you and me. What a Savior. I thank God. The importance of knowing the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you want that truth, if you'll apply that truth to your life, you can be free from sin. You can be free from condemnation. The truth will set you free. Thank God that Christ is the way and the truth and the life. First, the importance of knowing the truth. Secondly, the importance of growing in truth. The Bible says over in 2 Timothy, to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're supposed to grow in truth. We need to know, as I said a while ago, we need to know what this Bible has to say to us in guiding us through life, don't we? Amen? Now listen. Growing in truth will change our wisdom. Let me show you what I'm talking about over in 1 Corinthians right here, chapter number 1. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, I'm talking about it'll change your wisdom from focusing so much on worldly wisdom to seeking God's wisdom. Amen? Listen, he says in chapter 1, verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. He said in verse 19, he said, for it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, God looks at all this stuff, all the wisdom of man today. He sees it as foolishness. Seems like the wiser that man gets, the further away from God he gets. And what am I talking about? Look, he says this. In verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I tell you what the problem in America is and the problem in the world is. A bunch of educated fools. Amen? That's what God looks at man and thinks. Educated fools got too smart to believe in God. But let me tell you, God's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Oh, listen to me. The importance of growing in truth, it changes one's wisdom. Now, in chapter number 2, I want you to notice this right here. Chapter number 2, verses 4, he says, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 7, he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. Now notice this, down in verse 12. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, I'm talking about when we want to know truth, when we want to grow in truth, worldly wisdom won't be so important to you. Not near so much as spiritual wisdom. He said, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let me tell you something, friend. The importance of growing in truth. There's a wisdom that we can acquire. There's a wisdom that we need. It comes through growing in truth and knowing what this Bible says right here. We need Bible study. We need teaching. We need preaching. We need daily devotion ourselves out of the Word of God. We need to pray, ask God to reveal the great truths of this Word right here to us as individuals, friend, and let God speak to you and teach you, friend. It'll change your perception of wisdom. We need to be wise in the things of God. Amen? Not only it'll change your wisdom, it'll change your worldliness. We live in a worldly, worldly day, don't we? Amen? We do. That's one of our problems today. We're in love with the world. I preached a message here a while back about being married to Christ but in love with the world. Huh? That's where we're at, ain't it? He don't like it. Listen, it'll change your worldliness. Notice this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He says, the Lord's not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You know what? All this stuff we've been laboring for, it ain't going to be nothing but old kindling. God's going to set this thing on fire one of these days. Listen, friend. We need to apply ourselves to the things of God. And listen, let's look on eternal things, not on temporal things. We put all our emphasis, all our labor, and we give all our mind to things that's going to burn up. And the things that are eternal, friend, we don't give hardly any thoughts to because we're in love with the world. Can I tell you something? If you know, God's going to burn it all up. You better kind of sort of try to break yourself away from being in love with the world. Amen? You need to fall out of love with the world. Because of, you know, the love of the Father, John said, the love of the Father's not in you if you love the world. We need to be in love with Christ. The importance of growing in truth, it changes our wisdom, it changes our worldliness, but it also changes your walk. Look what he says right here in verse 12. In verse 11, he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You believe that? You believe God's going to do exactly what He said? He never went back on anything He's ever said. He's coming back one of these days, and this world is going to be burnt to a cinder. All the works of man are going to be gone. He said, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace and without spot and without and blameless. It'll change your walk. If you grow in truth, know what God says, I guarantee you, it'll change the way you think. It'll, your wisdom in the things of God, it'll change your walk. as you go through this life. You'll want to walk more with God. You'll want to be more in line with this Bible right here and the things that God expects out of it. He says that what manner of persons we ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Listen, I'm talking about the importance of truth, the importance of knowing the truth, the importance of growing in truth, and thirdly and lastly, the importance of sowing the truth. Did you know we ought to be sowing as we go through life? The Bible says that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We ought to be sowing as we go through life. What are we going to sow? Well, this book right here. Boy, like I said a while ago, there's some 31,102 verses. This book right here is full of seed. Amen. There was an old black fella come by me one time. I was sitting at a card table, lost. He had a little old gospel track. I meant to bring that thing tonight. He said, "Here, I want to give you something." He didn't know what God would do with that little gesture, that little seed that he handed me right there. I cursed him. I cursed him when he first come in. He come walking back by me. And he handed that. He didn't hand it to nobody else in the room. He handed it to me. To me. And this flesh wanted to throw it away. But I couldn't turn it loose. I stuck it in my pocket. I'd take it out and I'd look at it. I'd think about what I did. How I cursed him when he come in. And God used that little seed that he sowed there. The little book, it just says verses of comfort and assurance and salvation. And I couldn't get away from it. Stuck it finally in my wallet. Every time I went to get a dollar out there, it was. Still speaking to me. A seed that he sowed. And you know, God saved me not too long after that. You know what I did? This old fellow was a black preacher. I went to him and I thanked him for handing me that track that day. God used that little seed that he sowed to bring me to Christ. The importance of sowing the truth. Listen to me. We've got a great commission that's given to us to go forth into all nations teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad that we're supporting missionaries that's going throughout this world and trying to teach and trying to preach and trying to point people towards Christ and get them saved, friend. Ought to be a sowing every chance we get. Not only this, friend, we have a great commission, but we have a limited clock. Jesus said, "Say not that there's 4 months to harvest." He said, "The fields are white already." Let me tell you, God's clock's soon going to run out. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you better be applying yourself to it now. If you've got lost loved ones, you better put your pride away. Get on your knees. Ask God to help you be a witness to them. You better get to them, friend. Time is going to run out one of these days. Not only we have a limited clock, but we have a payday that's coming. We're going to stand before the Lord one day. Wood, hay, and stubble are the precious things of God that will go through the fire. It'll stand. All this old world is going to burn up. Only the things we've done for God are going to stand in that dreadful day when we stand before the Lord. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We're going to stand before Him. I don't care. You're saved, you're going to stand before Him still. You're going to give an account. And I'm going to give an account of the things that I've done. Not for sin, but for the things that I've done that He's instructed me to do. Out of this book here, the things I've done and the things that I've not done. The importance of truth. Man needs to know the truth of this old-fashioned gospel, don't he? Amen. Stand with me. Appreciate you being here tonight. Really good Wednesday night crowd, and I want to thank you for putting forth the effort to come out tonight. I want to thank you for bringing your kids to church. It is very, very important that your children hear the truth. You ought to pray for their teachers. Pray for their preachers. Let me tell you something. The devil, friend, he's fighting truth. If he can get a lie instilled into your kids, then he's got them one step closer to hell. Amen. Boy, you better pray for your children. You better pray and get all the truth of God's Word in them you possibly can. Get that foundation of faith built in them that one day when they have their children, they'll teach them right too. Amen. Any word before we dismiss tonight? If not, Brother Conrad, you dismiss us, brother.